Okay, so my name is Stephen Magwenzi, and it's really good that we're all gathered here again. We started this series a few weeks ago called Kingdom Management, and the whole deal with us, you know, talking about kingdom management, was so that we recognize that if we are good, or if we become better at resource management, then the Lord can put more in our hand, because it doesn't matter how generous you want to be, if you don't have the resources, the extent of your generosity is going to be limited. Amen? So we agree on that. So, and we believe in miracles. You know, the Lord, you know, just rains money on us. That would be nice. You know, that we go outside and there's $100 green, $100 notes just raining on us. I would enjoy that. But whilst we know the Lord can do that, we want to do our part in managing our resources, and then He does His part. Because that's the way it works, is that God will not do what we can do. There's a sort of like says, look, in as much as I'd like to help you, surely you can do that. There was a time in the Old Testament when quail or ducks, whatever it is, was just raining, and manna was just raining on everybody. All they had to do was to go outside and just scoop stuff up. But there came a time when that stopped. When all of a sudden it was no longer about, oh, Lord, where's the quail today? He's like, you better go and hunt if you want something to eat. And so that's the lesson we learn from that, the lesson that resource management is very critical and important to, in fact, it's a major responsibility that God has placed on both you and I. We know from Genesis that He said that He had created everything, but He hadn't caused it to rain because there was no person to manage it. And so that is the mandate that you and I have been given by God, to manage the resources that are coming our way. And so today we're focusing on, in terms of our message, kingdom lessons from the unusually wise. Kingdom lessons from the unusually wise. And why would we, you know, and I think why that is important is that we love the practical wisdom that comes from the scripture. And so if we're attentive enough, we can extract great lessons for our lives. And so the book of Proverbs is full of wisdom that can help us do better when it comes to our resources. And how many people recall a time when their parents used to tell them that you better grow up real quick because life is difficult? Anybody remember, did your parents say that to you? Come on, you need to work hard, because if you don't work, you're going to struggle, you're going to study at school, and if you don't, or work with your hands, because if you don't, they used to say it back in the day, if you don't work, you don't eat. And so I remember my paternal grandmother, and we used to call her Mbuya Magwenzi. Mbuya is like grandmother. So Mbuya Magwenzi, she would constantly tell all of us, the grandkids that stayed with her, of the future. And there would be a collective eye rolling each time she started on some of her lessons. She's like, oh, now here we go again. And we would tell ourselves that, come on, lady, you know, the future is far away. So don't tell us about that. But guess what? The future came. And we're now living in the future. And now the words that she spoke, it's either they blessed you or they condemned you. Isn't it funny that when people tell us stuff, we're like, yeah, whatever. But if we follow the instruction that they gave us, later on in life, you're like, oh, thank goodness I listened to that old lady. You know. But if we don't, unfortunately, it's now we're thinking, oh, I should have listened to what she had to say. And so what we find is that as we get older in life, is that wisdom is essentially skill. It is the skill of living life. And it is the application of knowledge. And so this is what the Lord Jesus Christ says, that everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against the house, yet it did not fall because it had its foundation on the rock. Wisdom can save us a lot of trouble. Wisdom can save us a lot of trouble. In Proverbs chapter 30, verse 24 to 28 says, there are four things on earth that are small but unusually wise. Ants, they aren't strong, but they store up food all summer. Hyraxes, which are rock badgers, they aren't powerful, but they make their homes among the rocks. Locusts, they have no king, but they march in formation. Lizards, they're easy to catch, but they're found even in king's palaces. And I'll read it again in the Amplified. The ants are not a strong people, yet they prepare their food in the summer. The rock badgers are not a mighty folk. In some scriptures it says the conies are not a mighty folk or are a feeble folk, yet they make their houses in the rocks. The locusts have no king, yet all of them go out in groups. You may grasp the lizard with your hands, yet it is in the king's palace or king's palaces. And then lastly, in the Message translation, there are four small creatures, wisest of the wise they are. Ants, frail as they are, get plenty of food in for the winter. Marmots, vulnerable as they are, these are the conies or the rock badgers, manage to arrange for solid rock solid homes. Locusts, leaderless insects, yet they strip the field like an army regiment. Lizards, easy enough to catch, but they sneak past vigilant palace guards. Their wisdom of these animals is so out of proportion to their size. And the reason is that why they are wise is that they overcome seemingly insurmountable limitations. And so if we observe them carefully, what we will learn will help us do the exact same thing that these little creatures have done. And so what can we learn from the ants? Ants are industrious. And what we learn from them is the law is wisdom of contemplation. Solomon used the ant to illustrate economic wisdom when he exhorted his son to consider their diligence, their initiative without supervision, and their foresight to prepare and save for the future. Take a lesson from the ants, you lazy bones. Learn from their ways and become wise. Though they have no prince or governor or ruler to make them work, they labor hard all summer gathering food for the winter. But you, lazy bones, how long will you sleep? When will you wake up? And this is a well-read-out passage in my family, this little bit here. A little extra sleep, a little more slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest. Then poverty will pounce on you like a bandit. Scarcity will attack you like an armed robber. What we learn from the ants when it comes to our finances, this contemplation that they have, they recognize that winter is coming. So because it is coming, I have to make the preparations so that I will not be without. And so if we're going to be the people that have kingdom generosity and are good kingdom managers, we have to look at the ants and say, how can I apply these lessons in my life where I can contemplate that, when is the sun going to come up? Can anyone tell me? When is the sun coming up? Or the moon? Yes, the moon is tonight. And does that happen? How often does that happen? Every day. When does winter come? When does winter come? Once every 10 years? All the time. It happens all the time. And so what we understand is that there is a lesson that these ants are teaching us. And we can apply this when it comes to the resources we've been given, that we have to prepare for what's coming tomorrow. Amen? The ants take personal responsibility, which means that if they don't know something, guess what they're going to do? They're going to surround themselves and get the help that they need so that they can understand. So if you don't know about budgeting, the Lord, unfortunately, is not going to come down, visit you over a cup of coffee and tell you about budgeting. You have to take your personal responsibility to help yourself understand what budgeting is. They tell us the ants about forethought and organization to make provision for food. They understood that winter is coming, so they are prepared. And a key thing is that we have to understand is work, you work when you can. Because there is going to come a time when, unfortunately, in as much as you would love to work, you will not be able to work. Therefore, you have to do something now to prepare for the retirement that is coming. And so what does that mean? You know, and one of the key things is that there are more tomorrows than today's. So let's be wise. So what we have to do is to ensure that as people that are kingdom managers that want to always be generous, is we've got to have some savings, we've got to save. This is practical stuff. We have to have insurance in the event that the inevitable is going to take place so that you can, your family is taken care of. You have to put your will in order. I've lived long enough to actually see what happens when people don't prepare for their death, and there's no will behind. It's very unfortunate because it causes a lot of chaos in families, a lot of division. So these are just practical things that we can use as kingdom people. Your will, of course, it's a bit hard to write down that in the event of my untimely demise, I leave my sneakers. In fact, all my sneakers go in the box with me. Because my kids are nearly they fit my shoes. They're probably fighting over my shoes. So I have to write, this pair goes to so-and-so. This means that we have to learn to manage our finances, paying off our debt when we can, and seeking to stay out of debt. Working hard, I guess, when God gives us the opportunities, is to work hard, because the example of the ant is that he works hard. The ant works hard when he can. And he does that too. So when the opportunity is there, so when you are experiencing seasons of plenty, what do you have to do? You store up for seasons of lack. Joseph did the exact same thing, that I see seven seasons of absolute plenty and then seven seasons of absolute nothing. So you store for, just as the ants prepare for the winter and they store the stuff, their food, we have to do the same. Because I don't know about you, it's actually a good feeling to, you're visiting somebody and they say, I have this problem. And you say, what is the problem? Oh, I need to pay off my fees, or I'm struggling to pay off my fees. How much is it? They tell you it's X amount of dollars, and you say, I can fix that. That's a good thing about when we are good at resource management. It just provides us the opportunity to provide for other people when the time arises. The feeling is terrible when you know you want to help, but you can't. And if I take this lesson further about the ants, there's Vernon McGee said about the ant. He said, he wrote about the Emperor Hadrian, who was a wicked ruler in the Roman Empire. And it was related that he said the following when he was dying, and I quote, no more crown for this head, no more beauty for these eyes, no more music for these ears, and no more food for this stomach of mine. But my soul, oh my soul, what is to become of you? The reason I share this is because wisdom prepares now for something that you cannot prepare for in the future after it has come. And the word of God lets us know in Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27, that after we die physically, there will be a judgment. So the question for us is also this. Yes, we're talking about kingdom management, about our resources, but we can't just leave it at the resources. What about our lives? Have we made preparation for the future by drawing near to God and running to his remedy for our souls in the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ? What can we learn from the rock badger? They understood their weaknesses and therefore they took appropriate action to protect themselves. These are very small creatures that have got no way to protect themselves. And so what we learn from them is the wisdom of compensation. They learn to protect themselves from things that are stronger than they are. And so in our businesses, what do? We hire people who are good at what we are bad at. In our relationships, you know, we get with somebody who compliments us. So we surround with people that are going to compliment us and are going to resource our area of weakness. They understood that for the only way for us to survive is to go in. And so these rock badgers, what they would do is that they would go and make their homes in the holes in the mountainside, which meant that foxes could not get to them. So our own sense of weakness should drive us to him that is a rock higher than us for shelter and support. They find they're exceedingly wise because they find refuge in the rocks. They know the truth of the words in Psalm 18, verse 2. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom will I trust? My buckler and the horn of my salvation. They tell us to find our refuge in the rock that is the Lord Jesus Christ. Rock badges tell us about compensation. So where you are weak, you get somebody to come in and to compliment you. What can we learn from the locust? We learn the power of partnership, the wisdom of cooperation. By itself, one locust is powerless, but as a swarm, they can do great damage. You see, they have no visible head or leader, yet they go forth like soldiers in their respective regiments. They move methodically, and they make... Has anybody ever seen locusts? Lots of them? They just move with such... They're in order. And by one locust, useless. But together, the damage that they can do... And if you're a farmer and you have locusts around, you start to fret. Because you understand that if you start to see, they can actually cause the sun to be blocked out. And when they land on your crops, well, it's game time. And then when they move from there, it's just chaos that is left. They have no leader. They seem to be acting under divine, you know, under definite instructions and discipline. Like somebody's telling them, right, everybody, it's time for us to raise up and go. But they don't have a leader. But guess what? We, the church, are just like that. It seems churches across the world that they are leaderless things. They're just one church is like one locust. But together, we all move somehow in unison. But we do have a leader. And that is the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the unseen head of our church. And what he says in Matthew, he says that in John 7, verse 20 to 21, may we see, I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who believe in me through their word, that they all may be one as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. And that is the thing, when we come together as brothers and sisters, as we move in unison together, we can do a whole of a lot of, not damage, because, you know, that's what locusts do, but we can make a big impact in the community and in the world around us, a positive impact, influencing people for the Lord. Last week we were in Kwinana, we did the name change. And we just spoke about this ministry of reconciliation that the Lord has given us. That what is our mandate? 2 Corinthians 5, verse 11 to 18. It just basically talks about the responsibility that we have to tell others about the Lord Jesus. It goes on to say that we are ambassadors. And what we are doing is that we're pleading on behalf of God to people to say, God is not holding your sins against you. So come on home. Come to the Lord. That is just our mandate. And as we do that, as we learn to cooperate with one another, we're going to begin to see the things that God can do in our lives. It doesn't matter how young you are or how old you are, that there is room for your participation in what God wants to do here at C3 Fremantle. And of course, later on, it will be in C3 Kwinana. If I can digress a bit, when you don't store up for, like the ant, you don't store up for the bad times. It's not just the bad times you don't store up for. It is for the good times you don't store up for, the opportunities that come your way. And so when you don't prepare, when you don't set aside, what happens is that opportunities come your way, but guess what? You're not able to exploit those opportunities. Ecclesiastes chapter 9 is one of my favorite ones. It says, the race is, and this is Solomon saying, I have seen something else under the sun. The race is not to the swift, or the battle to the strong, nor does food come to the wise, or wealth to the brilliant, or favor to the learned. But time and chance happen to them all. Another translation says that end bit, it says, it is all decided by chance, by being in the right place at the right time. The problem, you see, with that is that if you haven't prepared, when that opportunity presents itself, you will not be able to take advantage of it. So it's just not from a negative perspective that we are trying to prepare for the winter, but it's also from a positive perspective where we're trying to maximize on the opportunities that the winters create for us. I was listening to a post, some British journalist was talking about through this pandemic, this was the time where the number of billionaires in the world increased. Whereas people were struggling, other people were getting ridiculously rich. Now, and I'm not talking about us wanting to be, you know, I'm not talking, let's not all be super rich. I'm not talking about that. Because sometimes that can really pierce our souls, they're trying to chase after money. But we're saying, though, is that let's maximize the opportunities by being those who manage our resources well. Amen? I think it's not wanting to work now. It's not good. And from the lizards, what can we learn from the lizards? What we learn from the lizards is that they are so small, but very evasive. That they are found, something that can be easily caught, they are found in the king's palaces. That something that can be caught in your hand, but overall, if you can imagine palace guards, they are guarded by, you know, palaces are guarded by soldiers, but somehow they are able to make their way into those places. What it teaches you and I, the wisdom that comes from the lizard is the wisdom of capitalization. Now, by that I mean that they have not prepared, they have not built those palaces, but they take advantage of them. They haven't built the palaces, but they take advantages of those opportunities that are given to them. So we build on what other people have done. We come into a church and we build on what others have done before us. And what we're then doing is building for other people that will come after us. The similar thing, just like in families, is that we build. We do things as parents so that we can, our children can capitalize. Now, that's of course if they're wise, that they can capitalize on what we've done, on the opportunities that has been created. So that's the one thing that, you know, this wisdom that we learn from these small things, that if we're going to be kingdom, well, we are kingdom people, but if we're going to be people that have got kingdom generosity, we can learn from these small but exceedingly wise creatures. Okay, Catherine, to come up, please. And our heart's desire, you know, is that all of us really get to experience. The Lord does not want us living on Struggle Street. And don't get me wrong, it's always great to, you know, hear, oh, you know, I didn't have, the Lord came through for me. you know, I couldn't do this, and the Lord came through for, that's all great. But should we be living there all the time, where the Lord is just like MacGyver, coming in just at the right time? Has anybody watched MacGyver? He would always sneak in just at the right time. As nice as that may be, I don't think that's where the Lord wants us to stay. That each and every one of us, in our own space and with the resources we've been given, God wants us to be generous. But this is going to stop our generosity if we don't manage our resources well, if we don't prepare for what's coming. You know, the scripture says that a good man leaves an inheritance for his children's children. Which means this good man had to be very intentional to say, you know what, when I leave this earth, I want to make sure that whatever I have, I pass on to my children's children. That there is a legacy that is passed on. And I get it. Sometimes we all struggle with stuff. You know, we struggle with finances. The pressures of life are deep. Sometimes all we're doing is we're just living from paycheck to paycheck. That's okay. Well, no, it's not okay. But if that's sometimes, but that is the reality. That's what I'm trying to say. That is the reality. But what we learn to then do is to say, irrespective of the amount that I'm getting, I'm actually going to apply these principles, put them in place. Excuse me. Because if I don't, well, it's going to be Strugglesville for me. And that's not where the Lord wants you and I to be. We want to be a generous people. We want to be a generous church that is able to reach out and to help. Can I have some water, please? Yes, thank you. I want to be a generous man that can reach out and help other people. I want us to be a generous church that can meet the needs of our community, because there's a lot of suffering. There's just a lot of heartache that's happening in our community. And we want to be the solutions. But if we cannot take care of our own house, well, how are we going to take care of somebody else's house? How are we going to take care of somebody else's problem? This is about us just being very practical people. We don't want to be the hocus pocus, abracadabra, hey presto type Christians. We want to be real, authentic, and very practical people that understand that we have a responsibility, irrespective of our age, to start to take personal responsibility like the ants do. They took personal responsibility for their lives and began to put the steps in place. And that's what the Lord wants for us. Is that you could be working in a job that pays you $20 an hour, but still, you can still be a generous person at that level. And so you can imagine when we're talking about the power of cooperation, like the locust, when I bring my $2, somebody brings their $5, another brings $100. What God can do with that is absolutely amazing. And so, can a cupful say to a dishful, say to a tubful, that something is wrong with me? Because what do they have in common? They're full. But it's just that the vessels are carrying differing amounts of water. And this is the thing about cooperation, is that we all get given differently by the Lord. And therefore, I am not going to be looking at my brother and sister and then begin to look down upon what the Lord has provided to me. Let's stand this morning. Father, I just thank you, Lord God, this morning that there are four creatures that are exceedingly small. That are small, sorry, but they're exceedingly wise. The ant, the rock badger, the locust, and the lizard, that they were able to overcome their smallness. And Father, we can learn to overcome the things that come against us by learning from them. Father, I just pray for your people, Lord God, for C3 Fremantle, that, Lord, we would be good managers. Lord, that we would be those, Lord God, that you would continue to add more and more and more resources. Father, I thank you, Lord God, for the provision, the generosity of your church, the generosity of your people. Lord, I just pray, Father, that you would continue to provide for them, that where there is a need, Lord God, where there is a need in their lives, that, Father, you would meet those needs. That, Lord, for all of us, Lord God, let this be the cry of our heart, that a good man leaves an inheritance to his children's children. And so, Lord, we ask that, Father, you would bless us so that we might be a blessing to others. That through us, Lord God, our blessing, that through your blessing through us, Father, the impact will be felt for generations. And Lord, we thank you for your provision. And Lord, we just thank you for your scriptures. Lord, we thank you for the wisdom that is found in them. And let us be those, Lord God, that will not only just hear the word, but we will do what the word says to do. And so, Father, I thank you for wisdom, Lord God. I thank you for skill. I thank you for the many gifts that you have placed on your people, that, Lord, they would begin to discover their gift and to operate in them. That, Father, the things that they can do, the baking, the cooking, the sewing, Lord God. Lord, I just pray, Father, that we, Lord God, would just use the gifts that you have given us. And Lord, as we bring them forth to you, Lord God, that we would impact our community here in Fremantle, Lord God. That men and women would come into this place and feel the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. That, Father, as we learn the wisdom of cooperation, Lord God, from the locusts, as we do things together, Father, as we band it together, as we move in one direction together, Lord, that people would come, as we love one another, that people would come and see what you are doing in this place. And so, Father, be with your people as they leave today, as they go home. Bless them and their families. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. And everybody says, amen. Amen. Thank you very much, everybody.